A headline from a Wall Street Journal opinion piece this week: San Francisco has become a shoplifter's paradise. It was reaction to Walgreens shuttering nearly two dozen locations, and the forces driving those closures is being debated. We're looking at organized retail theft closer to home in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The National Retail Federation published its annual national survey on retail security in August. More than two-thirds of retailers said they had seen an increase in organized retail crime activity over the past year, citing reasons like COVID, like policing, like the growth of online marketplaces for stolen goods. What are your thoughts about a surge in shoplifting? 800-642-1234. Joe Tashler is a reporter and editor for the business desk of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been reporting on how retailers are fighting theft rings. Joe, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So much of your reporting on these orchestrated thefts is centered in the village of Grafton, which I thought was really interesting, in Ozaukee County, north of Milwaukee. Can you explain what's going on?
Well, one of the things that I was seeing when I was just in reporting during earnings calls, when the companies get together with analysts and talk about their earnings, it kept coming up that losses from theft were growing. And I'm like, So we started looking into it, and sure enough, the amount of retail theft has skyrocketed. And we just happened to look at Grafton because there's a number of major retailers right in that corridor with the Interstate 43 and State Highway 60, where at that interchange, number of major retailers looked at the police department's annual report to the public and realized that close to 70% of the calls that the police department handles in Grafton are for retail theft.
70%. Wow.
I think the numbers were 178 total crime reports during the year, and 118 of those, so 118, were for retail theft.
Grafton is an interesting contrast because the National Retail Federation's security survey says the top three cities where organized retail crime is occurring is L.A., San Francisco Bay Area, and Chicago. So while that survey is citing these very large cities, you're saying this problem is even striking small villages.
Right. You know, that's one thing in the reporting, I talked to one of the Home Depot's chief investigators, and he told me, he said, you know, this used to be a situation that was primarily occurring in the larger cities. So, you know, a Home Depot, you know, on the north side of Chicago, or in an urban area of Los Angeles. Now, he said, they're seeing every one of their stores across the country being hit. It doesn't matter if it's in a suburban area or an urban area, it's their stores are being hit everywhere. And, you know, doing the reporting, we found out that was happening to more than just Home Depot.
Well, draw a distinction here. This is very different from minor shoplifting. What does it mean to be organized theft rings?
Well, that's one thing I asked. I said, well, you know, how much of this is somebody, you know, going to a grocery store and, you know, shoplifting milk and eggs so they can feed their kids? And they said, that just doesn't happen. These are people who are organized. They know what they're after. They go in and take large quantities of merchandise, oftentimes pushing it right out the front door. And then at least the retailers, the brick and mortar retailers, say they turn around and sell it on online marketplaces.
We're going to talk about those online marketplaces in a moment. We have Joe Tashler with us, reporter, editor for the business desk of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been writing recently about an increase in organized theft rings hitting retail stores in Wisconsin and really all across the nation. You can join in. What are your thoughts about the surge in shoplifting? What do you think can be done about the organized crime effort? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Joe, as you talk with law enforcement officials and others who are watching the shifting movement of these theft rings, what is their approach to this?
They're trying everything they can with the resources that they have. Our reporters have done stories about the Milwaukee Police Department and how, with the rate of homicides, they won't come out and say that they're overwhelmed, but let's just say that the police department is pretty busy. So then you have suburban police departments who might not have the significant crimes to investigate. They're trying everything technology. In Grafton, they've gotten all their retailers together to have a meeting with the police once a quarter to say, okay, what's going on? What are you seeing? They're trying sharing of intelligence so you can identify people who are going around the country, literally, and hitting stores. So there's a number of things they're doing.
As you're on these earnings calls, you know, loss prevention has always been a division or a category of retailers. They have whole departments that focus on loss prevention. What are you hearing from the retail side?
From the retail side, at least from Home Depot, when I talk to them, they are going after, they're using what the federal government has done for generations to go after organized crime, which is go after the top, go after the people at the top. And so that's what they do. They're going after people who are stealing. I think the example they gave me was $50,000 worth of merchandise in 3 weeks. The loss prevention people are almost their own detectives, where they will put a case together and then they'll take it to law enforcement and say, here's what we have. Here's the evidence that we have. Can you go prosecute?
Now, please act. So literally, taking that evidence, dropping it in their lap and saying, here you go. Will you act now?
Right. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. But, again, with strained resources of police departments, you're not going to pull somebody off a homicide investigation to have them go do a retail theft case. It's just not going to happen. So what they're trying to do is put together really big cases against the people at the top, where police and prosecutors are going to be more likely to initiate a prosecution.
We have the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Joe Tashler has been reporting on organized theft activity and how Wisconsin retailers and police departments are responding. Have you heard of these organized theft rings here or in other states? Do you think they have a ripple effect on the price you pay for items? Do you work in loss prevention in the retail industry? What have you noticed? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Joe Tashler here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the uptick in organized retail crime here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the 2021 National Retail Security Survey, retailers report people who are part of organized theft rings are more aggressive and violent than in years past. Some 65% of respondents noted the increase in violence. Top stolen items are designer clothes and laundry detergent. That data comes from the trade group and the lobbying organization, National Retail Federation, that puts out the survey. Do you work in retail? What is your store's policies for dealing with shoplifting and theft? Join in 800-642-1234. Joe Tashler is a reporter and editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel with us for about 9 more minutes. Joe, you know, what are thieves doing with the goods that they're stealing, sometimes in bulk?
One of the things I found out in the reporting is a lot of these stolen goods show up on online marketplaces. And that has set up a battle, if you will, between big retail and big tech. Big retail wants more identification and stricter rules for people who sell goods as third parties on online marketplaces.
And when you say online marketplaces, you mean like your Amazon, say, or perhaps sure. eBay?
Sure, Amazon, eBay, to a lesser extent, Etsy. And there are new online marketplaces popping up every day, according to the loss prevention folks I've talked to. The Amazons and the eBays of the world say that they accuse the brick and mortar retailers of trying to drive a wedge into the business model that they've established by putting new requirements and more onerous identification requirements on third-party sellers. There's federal legislation, there's legislation being pursued at state houses across the country, and it has turned into quite a fight between brick and mortar and online.
Well, it's interesting, too, that some stores think the online forum, the online environment, needs to police the sellers more and to be more stringent about what products are for sale online. What do you see going on there? What are the dynamics?
Well, the brick and mortar retailers say that they, you know, they have to police their stores regularly. They could never sell dangerous or stolen goods out of their brick and mortar retail storefronts. And they are pushing to have the Amazons and eBays of the world police their storefronts, even though they're electronic, in the same manner. They also argue that it's very easy to anonymously sell items on some of these marketplaces, but specifically, you know, you read between the lines and their ire is directed at Amazon, clearly.
And you mentioned the legislation afoot. There's a bill in Congress aiming to address the fight between tech and retail here. Can you tell us about the Inform Act?
Yeah, it was introduced in this session of Congress. I honestly don't know where it is in the process or what its prospects are. Mm-hmm. But it would create more stringent requirements on people like Amazon to know who their sellers are and make their sellers' identities more readily available to consumers. And eBay says, you know, we're already doing that. You don't have to go 2 or 3 mouse clicks into a listing to see who the person is who's selling it. Mm-hmm. Clearly, again, this is a beef with Amazon, where it does take a mouse click or two to figure out who some of the third-party sellers are on that platform.
We're talking with Joe Tashler, who's a reporter and editor for the business desk of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been writing recently about an increase in organized theft rings hitting retail outlets in Wisconsin and elsewhere in the country. You can join in. Have you heard of these organized theft rings? How do you think that they should be prosecuted, or what should happen at the retail level to stop this? 800-642-1234. Joe, have you looked into how successful prosecution has been when going after these organized theft rings?
Not as much as I probably should have. I've seen reports from the Justice Department, the U.S. Justice Department. There was a father-daughter team
in Atlanta,
who I want to say they moved $5 million worth of stolen goods and had a
warehouse.
A warehouse and just a regular group of people who would steal things for them that they would resell. That was their business. And that's the other thing that's important that law enforcement says, and that you mentioned about the increasingly brazen nature of some of these thefts. This is what people do for a living. This is their job. The retailers have largely told their employees, don't intervene. We don't want anybody getting hurt. And that's part of the equation as well.
So the protocol is not to stop it on the employee side, not to intervene, not to escalate.
Right. That is the mantra or the marching orders, if you will, for employees when these thefts occur.
I wonder, do you know anything about the trickle-down effect on what these thefts have, if there's any ripple effect on the prices that consumers are buying for items in the store?
The retailers will tell you no, that they have the massive loss prevention departments that you mentioned earlier in order to prevent that from happening and keep that keep the losses from making their way into the consumer's pocketbook. But clearly, with the size of the losses, and I think you mentioned this, it was approaching in that survey from the National Retail Federation, they were estimating close to $62 billion across the country. Clearly, those losses are going to have to be absorbed somewhere.
They are going to have to come from somewhere. Yeah.
They're going to have to come from somewhere. So while the retailers won't come out and say that, it's got to come from somewhere.
I wonder, too, the impact that staffing is having and the staffing and labor shortages we're seeing straight across industries. Maybe stores just don't have the staff or the security to address it as well.
Clearly, yes. If you have one clerk working at the front of the store, that's an easy target for somebody to load up a cartload of air conditioners, power tools. I've heard people around Thanksgiving will load up carts full of turkeys and they'll just run out of the store. If you have a diminished or lesser number of people working, that clearly can't help but embolden someone. I would think it would just be common sense to run out of a store with a cartload of merchandise that they didn't pay for.
I wonder have these theft rings always been there, or is this has been an unusual rise or result from the pandemic?
That's one thing I looked at, and the rate of employee theft or inside jobs, if you will, has remained stagnant over time. The retailers have not seen an increase in that. So clearly something has gone on that that has emboldened people to go into stores and grab large quantities of merchandise and run out with it. Now, whether that's a pandemic, people are studying that, but like so many other things in life, because of the pandemic, I'm sure it's had something to do with it.
Yeah. Joe, thank you for sharing your reporting with us.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. This is a treat. This is great.
Appreciate it. Joe Tashler is a reporter and editor for the business desk of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We have a link to his reporting on organized retail crime. It's at WPR.org/mornings. Ahead this hour, a Janesville farmer explains how he's trying to reduce emissions and greenhouse gases on thousands of acres. How do you think farming and grazing practices should change? What does sustainable agriculture mean to you? And what do you want to ask this farmer in Janesville about his practices? Join in 800-642-1234. News update is next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.